Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. Today I'm joined by the two best friends anybody could have. 2016 champ Richard Jefferson here in LA, 2008 champ Kendrick Perkins back in Texas. Later in the show, we get to reveal the WNBA All-Star roster. Very exciting. But first, yet another unfortunate injury this postseason. Two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo jumping up to contest an alley-oop with 7 minutes, 14 seconds remaining in the third quarter when his left knee appeared to buckle. He falls on the floor here in obvious pain, grimacing, clutching his knee in the Bucks. Well, they're calling it a hyperextended left knee for now, but sources telling ESPN that Giannis is expected to undergo further imaging on the knee today. This is frustrating for a Bucks team seeking its first NBA Finals appearance since 1974, but an injury to their star player? Not exclusive to them, of course, this postseason. If Giannis misses Game 5, he would be the 10th different All-Star this season to miss a playoff game. The list of 9, already the most in a single postseason all time. And that, by the way, doesn't even include Trae Young because he was not named an All-Star this season. Of course, he was last season. Richard, what do you make of the rash of injuries to all of these stars in this playoffs?
Well, look, people have talked about it. They were warned about it before. A lot of it was soft tissue injury, and that's where you saw the hamstrings, the calves. Like, a lot of that stuff that was affecting players' groins. But ultimately, this is part of the game, and it's unfortunate. We knew that there was going to be a rash, and everyone's like, oh, you only care about the superstars. That's the only thing to talk about. Mm-hmm. The only reason why we're talking about the superstars is because they're the ones that play the most minutes.
Right.
So their bodies are most likely to be the most fatigued. Yes, they are most likely to be the best specimens, but they are also the ones pushing themselves to the limit. So it's unfortunate, but I think this season the champion is going to be decided by whoever has the most health luck.
I mean, to a degree, it's always decided a little bit by that part, but
this,
it feels more significant this year, right? Perky with us?
Yeah, it does. I'm right here. I'm sorry, Rachel. I'm so used to Richard talking so much. I didn't know it was my turn. I didn't know it was my turn. But it's all good. But at the end of the day, look, I hate all the injuries that's happening, and Richard and you are right as far as with is part of it is luck. But I have to put a little blame on the NBA. And I was one of the guys that were kind of critical of LeBron earlier when he was like, this is not a good idea. And I retweeted something and said, check ball. Nobody was trying to hear that. Get the Christmas Day game started. Mm-hmm. But this is the reason why. Because they had a short turnaround, didn't get a chance to have a full training camp. And then all of a sudden, you go into a season where guys are not adjusted to the workload, and this is what happened. You start to have these soft tissue injuries. You guys who playing a lot of minutes, like Richard just said, as far as all the all-stars and stuff like that, they're asked to perform at a high level. They're asked to play makeup games. An all-star game was thrown in there after they were promised that it wouldn't be an all-star weekend. So going through the COVID protocol, a lot of things to me were kind of like set up for the players to have injuries, in my opinion, by the NBA. Just my personal opinion.
It's been a grueling season. There's no arguing that. And some of the stuff that's happened has just been necessary. All these COVID protocols mean that these guys have been tested 2 or 3 times a day, that normally when they would be sleeping at 11 p.m., they have to go to the practice facility, or at 6 a.m., they have to go to the practice facility, which I get it. Poor millionaire has to set his alarm clock. But you are out there pushing your body to the limit in a short period of time between games. And then when your patterns are disrupted, I think, frankly, in my mind, that has been the most damaging, more so than the start date. The start date really affected the 4 teams that were left in the bubble. We were showing Kyrie Irving's injury. He wasn't even in the bubble. I mean, he hadn't played in so long. So I'm not sure the start date is what did someone like him in. But just as you guys say, when you have tired bodies, fatigued bodies, get injured more quickly.
And there's no sympathy, Rachel. That's the number one thing that I picked from this. When people were critical of Bron when he said this a couple of weeks ago, and even Perk, he said it. He's like, oh, no one's trying to hear that, check ball. And it was like, well, there were other people. It wasn't just Bron. A lot of times his voice is the loudest because it has the biggest platform. But ultimately, there were a lot of people to discuss this. And so many times you have teams trying to protect players, but like, the league should also try and protect their players in certain moments, trying to figure out best ways to get break.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, we'll have to see sort of how they go the rest of the way. Obviously, for a team like the Clippers, they played every other day for pretty much this entire playoff. Some other teams have had to deal with that. They're trying to race to get these playoffs in before the Olympic Games because guys have commitments to their home teams and things like that. TV has contractual commitments. And then next season, we are supposed to be on schedule. So we will get back to what we used to have. Focusing back in on this series, though, if we look at the Hawks, they entered the game as 9-point underdogs because, of course, Trae Young wasn't playing because of that bone bruise in his foot. Well, they still blew the Bucks out, and it wasn't just the Giannis injury either. They led by 13 points at halftime. After the win, Hawks coach Nate McMillan updated Trae Young's status for Game 5.
I don't know. It was the report was just tonight he's out. He didn't feel comfortable enough to, put pressure on his foot tonight. So I'll get a report tomorrow, and I'm sure it'll be a game-time decision.
All right, so Trae is, you heard Nate, a game-time decision for Game 5. We're tied 2-2. Giannis' health is now in question. Perk, how do you see this series playing out?
Well, I see the Bucks winning in 7, and this is the reason why, because they have home court advantage. And also, they have two guys over there. One of them has signed a contract for $177 million, and the other signed for $160 million. And that's Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday. They're getting paid the big bucks. It's time for them to elevate their game. There's no way that we should be leaving out of a game like last night and saying that a young guy like Cam Reddish, who has been out for 4 months, outplayed Chris Middleton. That's no excuse. And then you have Jrue Holiday, right? I know Lou Will, but Lou Will's up in age. He still could get buckets, but Lou Will shouldn't outplay Jrue Holiday. And then now I'm thinking maybe Mike Budenholzer changes offense. Feature Brook Lopez some more on the low block. Let him get going. Feature Bobby Portis. We all know that Brook Lopez still have something left in the tank for scoring on the low block. He's a guy that's capable of getting 20 and 10. But when it comes down to the Milwaukee Bucks, it's all about their mindset. Are they going to be locked in? Are they going to play smart basketball and not be dumb? That's the thing. But I still can see the Bucks pulling this out in 7 games due to home court advantage.
It's so tough because this Bucks team has the makeup of a champion. They have the makeup of a perennial dominant playoff team, but they have consistent playoff struggles. I won't just say failures. Like, everyone goes through those hiccups. It doesn't matter if you're LeBron James, if you're Michael Jordan, everyone goes through those hiccups. But the most frustrating thing is in moments like this. Mm-hmm. Right, Chris Middleton, like, and look, Perk was quick to say, I don't think it's Batman and Robin. I think it's Batman and Superman. Well, you're wrong on that one, because ultimately what Batman does is he's going to show up every single time. And that is a moment where you can't go 6-for-17. You can't follow up that type of performance that you had that had everyone saying, oh, well, they've turned a corner. Middleton has turned a corner. He can be that supporting player. But that supporting player, you know what he's got to do? He's got to do right now what Paul George is doing. When my big fella is out or down, I raise my game up. I don't go 6-for-17 and lose to a team with out Trae Young. That's devastating. That's demoralizing, not only to like the team, but also your fan base. That hurts your fan base when they see that, because it's hard to support that type of performance consistently.
Well, Rachel, to be honest, right now Chris Middleton is making me and RJ look pretty damn bad.
Because
offset yesterday, you told Rachel and I, hey, you remember when I said no? You remember when you was like, oh, you remember last year I got criticized for saying that Chris Middleton is the Michael Jordan and Giannis is the Scottie Pippen.
Giannis had to find his Michael Jordan, that he couldn't be the best player on his team in the last 6 minutes. There needed to be somebody better, and Middleton stepped up. But I was surprised that Middleton had that type of moment. But don't put that on me, dog.
Man, you know what? That's just a coward move, man. Running from the smoke, running from Twitter trolls. That's just weak of you, RJ.
What are you talking
but at
about?
The end
you
of the day,
you...
look, Rachel.
Oh, okay.
Rachel, at the end of the day, listen. I'm going to go back to the home court advantage. All right? Fans help you win games, right? Mm-hmm. How many times, and we talked about this time and time again, how many times have you done post-game interviews and players have said, hey, I thank the fans. The fans helped us through this game. Mm-hmm. Look. The arenas is going to be rocking. Role players play better at home. Milwaukee has the home court advantage. Milwaukee still have two stars on their team, two all-star caliber players, and Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday. I feel like they could get it done in seven.
Make sure you tell that to the Brooklyn Nets.
Look, what's complicated for both of these teams, and they're both dealing with it, is that those supporting players are built, the team is structured to be built around that one elite player, right? When you talk about some of the other guys on the roster, they are there on purpose. If you have done good team building to complement, they're not just supposed to be good. They're supposed to be good, but also complementary to your star player. And once you take that star player out of the orbit that everyone else is circling, it becomes more complicated to figure out how to push someone else into that middle sun position. I'm doing an analogy.
Well, but
no,
but this is, but
kind of
no, I get what you're,
working,
I get the
you know
analogy
I mean?
You're saying. You're saying that, look, like.
You take
like,
Trey or Giannis out.
Yes, but the Hawks figured it out.
I'm just,
and the
yes,
Hawks don't have a Chris
that's,
Middleton. And
that's the challenge, and the Hawks were the one who were able to get it done in
that's
the last
the frustration.
Game.
It's like the frustration. It's like the Bucks have four guys that have been all-stars. They have four guys on their teams that have been all-stars.
Mm-hmm.
You have Brooke Lopez, you have Chris Middleton, you have Jrue Holiday, and Giannis. One of them goes down, Giannis being the best player. That's an opportunity for other guys to step up, and we've seen it around the league with other players. Chris Paul goes out, Phoenix still win. Phoenix Suns still win. Devin Booker steps up. Campaign steps up. All of a sudden, it's like these guys go out, and then there's just it's just stuttering the whole time.
The challenge has been laid down. The Bucks are going back home. We'll have to see what they can do in Milwaukee. All right, coming up, we will reveal right here on The Jump the WNBA All-Star roster. You don't want to miss that. Carmelo Anthony, the recipient of the inaugural Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Social Justice Champion Award.
There we go, Melo.
As
Love
the winner,
it.
Anthony
Love
was
it.
Able to select
That's what
an
I'm
organization.
Talking about, Melo.
Yeah, the Portland Art Museum's Black Arts and Experiences Initiative to receive a $100,000 contribution on his behalf.
Mm.
Richard, this is awesome, right? And so deserved considering just the long track record of Carmelo's work in this area.
Yes, Carmelo has been doing so many things for so long. He's always had a very outspoken voice. And what I love about him is this is obviously the latter third of his career.
Mm-hmm.
So he is setting the groundwork for all of the players that are going to follow him in the next few years about what you need to do.
He's a true leader. I applaud Melo. Appreciate you, my brother.
That whole group he works with does such amazing work. I'm thrilled they're getting recognized. Oh, yes, it is time, friends, to reveal the WNBA All-Star roster. Let's start with the multi-time selections. The first player, no surprise, Ms. Candace Parker, getting her sixth career selection after joining the Chicago Sky this past offseason. Also no surprise, Las Vegas Aces center Liz Cambage earning her fourth career All-Star selection. She's averaging about 15 points, 9 boards per game this season. Next up, we've got Dawana Bonner of the Connecticut Sun. It's also her fourth career All-Star selection. She's averaging 16 points to go along with 7.5 rebounds per game. Jonquel Jones, also of the Sun, garnering her third career All-Star selection. Congratulations to her. She's ranked third in the league in scoring. She leads the WNBA guys in rebounds per game. And Courtney Vandersloot of the Sky, earning her third career All-Star selection. She's the league leader with 8.5 assists per game. The rest of the roster comprised of first-time All-Stars. Satu Salible, she's got making the cut, just her second season in the W. Congrats to all of the first-time All-Stars. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Congratulations,
there we
ladies.
Go, ladies. Congratulations.
Tattoos. This is just awesome. All right,
yeah,
let's talk
Derek
a little bit
Fisher,
about the format,
that.
Though.
Take
Looking at the
that,
whole
Derek
roster,
Fisher.
The WNBA All-Stars will face off against the USA Women's National Team in the All-Star Game, which you can watch on ESPN July 14th. It's the Olympians on one side against the League All-Stars on the other side. And, Richard, it's got a little extra spice because there was some controversy over the Team USA Olympic roster.
Yeah, there was some, you know, there was a notable MVP that was left off that roster. Again, former MVP, excuse me. You know, look, my thing is that I think this is great for the game. I think it's fun. fun. I think having the All-Stars, and look, we've seen USA basketball go and lose to college players, like college teams. They lost to Oregon a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is a very, very competitive game. You can't do it in the NBA because of obviously the way it's set up, but it is really cool to see like the All-Star, basically the USA team versus the other All-Stars. That makes it a very competitive game.
I mean, you know, obviously if you were upset about being left off an Olympic team, you can go try to make it up. Congratulations. So well earned. So many of the women on this list, role models and just flat out ballers. Mm-hmm. All right, coming up, the Clippers win game six if, well, Chris Bosh will join us to answer that question in the next segment, so stick around.
If Perk doesn't pick him.
Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, joined by Richard Jefferson, Kendrick Perkins, and I now want to welcome in Hall of Famer, elect two-time NBA champ Chris Bosh to the show. Chris, lovely to have you back with us. And I want to ask you about the Clippers. They have 7 wins when trailing in a series.
Rachel.
Go ahead.
Hey, Rachel, can we tell Chris to back up from the camera a little bit?
That's what you interrupted Rachel to get that? Okay, now carry on. Carry on, Rachel. Carry the hell on.
Carry on, indeed. Look, that is the single most postseason wins in NBA history when a team is in that position. So, Chris, fill in the blank for me, and I think that you look lovely in your camera space. I'm just going to put that out there.
Thank you.
The Clippers can take game six tonight if blank.
Well, I mean, I think it's all about Paul George. And, you know, I would like to give Paul George his roses while they can smell them. He's been taking a beating. Every time he laces them up, for whatever reason, people like to make him the pincushion of that team. But he's always showed poise, regardless of how tough the situation got. And he's always had an answer back and just came out and played basketball. So if he continues just to lead this team, I think defensively, of course, as a team, you want to make sure you're getting stops. You want to make sure that you're not giving Devin Booker and Chris Paul open looks all night and, you know, letting Aiden function down low. But I think offensively, if Paul George and Reggie Jackson lead the punch, I think they'll definitely have a shot, especially on their home court tonight.
Chris, you were the lightning rod for a while in Miami. What is that like to deal with, and how did you learn to shut it out? Because Paul seems to have learned to shut it out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's about playing basketball. And I had to understand that every great player goes through it. You have to prove yourself night in and night out. And so I just continued to work on my craft. I didn't really worry about things I couldn't control and people talking. You know, that stuff gets old fast. And usually it gets old from, you know, someone who's not successful in what they're doing, making you mad as you're trying to win a championship or something like that. So, you know, I just put my aggression, put my faith, put everything into my work. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's basketball. You go out there and do what you're born to do. And I think Paul George has done a magnificent job of really just showing how you can be mentally strong and keep succeeding.
Well, again, here we go again down this same roller coaster, okay? At the end of the day, this is what you signed up for. You signed up for, you're on the biggest platform. It comes with getting paid. It comes with fortune and the fame. Sometimes it's good fame. Sometimes it's bad fame. Okay, again, Paul George gave himself a nickname, Playoff P. He put himself under a microscope. Everyone has been criticized throughout their career. Good, great, average. Average, role players, whatever the case may be. This is what you signed up for. Who cares? The great Kevin Garnett, you know what he used to tell me? The same way you used to run and want to go to SportsCenter or go to ESPN or go to the newspaper articles and read things about yourself when you do something good, do the same thing when you do something bad. Use that energy to fuel yourself to prove the haters wrong or prove the doubters wrong. Again, Paul George is balling. He's doing his thing. But at the end of the day, he put himself under this microscope.
Is this Perk going to? The question is, the Clippers win game six.
No, I'm not answering
that.
I answered the question.
What was your answer? I don't think any of the four people on this panel.
What's your answer?
I just answered
Richard, what's your answer?
Oh, you would like my answer? Okay. If Paul George continues to lead in the manner that he has, and it's been so impressive, and I know we talk about that. We tried to give Chris Middleton his flowers two games ago, and he showed up and give us 6-for-17 last game and lose to a team without Trae Young.
This is just
it's bothering
every
me.
Every conversation.
Because then we can give a reference to Paul George and his level of consistency that he has done. They lose their best player, and he just keeps winning and continues to win and continues these numbers. He's in historic categories when you look at scoring 20-plus in the first 17 games in the postseason. It's Kobe, it's Bron, it's MJ that did it like four times. So he's in elite category because he's an elite player. So that's why I believe that the Clippers will win if he continues playing at the same level that he's been playing all postseason.
I just don't know how much longer he can hold up. We talked about this on the show yesterday, that he has played 735 playoff minutes, and that is 130 more than any other player. That's just a crazy disparity. And those are hard-earned minutes, right? Especially once Kawhi got off the floor, the way other teams are defending him, the physical beating that he's taking out there. So they are playing every other day. So far, most games, he is able to be up to the challenge. A couple games, he has looked tired there. And he will have to not be tired tonight because it is another elimination game for the L.A. Clippers. I do want to flip to the Suns side, though, and look at some interesting splits from Devin Booker in this series. He's played a similar amount of minutes alongside Campaign and Chris Paul, just with Chris missing, of course, those first two games of the Western Conference Finals. Now, alongside Payne, Booker's scoring per 36 minutes and shooting percentages, they're higher across the board. Richard, is this just a matter of, hey, Chris Paul's shot isn't quite falling right now? How do you explain the Devin Booker splits?
Well, look, we're not going to get carried away. I think the responsibility of Chris Paul is very different, and I think Devin Booker's responsibilities completely change when there's Chris Paul. Chris Paul does a very good job of spreading the offense to everyone. That's why he's considered the point god of this generation. So, yeah, maybe Booker's numbers might drop a little bit, but other people's numbers elevate. So I'm not going to turn this into a weird conversation. Is he better with Payne than Chris Paul? That's just insanity. Perk will do that.
Well, I'm not going to do that, and you're wrong. I'm going to say it's because of Patrick Beverley. And Patrick Beverley has been frustrating Devin Booker, and he has to find a way to shake it off. Also, Ty Lue has done a great job of actually making Devin Booker defend. So he doesn't have all that extra energy on the offensive end. Something like what Ty Lue did against Steph Curry. He searched him out and made him defend. That's why Devin Booker has been in foul trouble a lot lately. That's why Devin Booker hasn't been able to get the rhythm, because Ty Lue is making him defend alongside Patrick Beverley screaming first team all defense so loud that everyone in the world could hear him. So that's my answer to the question, Rachel. Richard thought it was something else, but obviously he don't know me that well.
By choice.
Well, I think in my opinion, this is kind of where data can get lost. This is when it's too much data. Look, you know, as a player, you understand as a scorer, when you have your point guard out in CP and he's not distributing, you have to step up. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to make sure that you're carrying that load for whichever unit is out there. And I'm sure they've worked up a rhythm all season to where Booker knows to where he can be aggressive. But look, at the end of the day, they're up 3-2. They've got another opportunity to close them out, and that's what it's about. The Clippers are going to have to come with it. They're going to have a lot of energy on their home court. But in my opinion, I think if the Suns play the basketball they're capable of, they can get out of there with a win tonight.
You just have to look at Chris Paul's track record, too. I know that he has some notable nights in the playoffs where things didn't go his way, but, man, his track record, there's much more on the side of having some fantastic nights in the playoffs. So much more. And I just have to think he is due for one of those nights in this series. We will find out. Chris, right quick before we go to break, I did want to get to our Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that the Lakers are finalizing a deal with your old coach, David Fizdale, to become an assistant coach with the Lakers. He was the lead assistant there in your Miami days. So what does Fiz bring to a coaching bench?
I mean, he's going to bring, of course, that coach who loves to get into the film, knows a lot about the game. He brings a presence that's great for a locker room as well, because he loves nothing more than basketball. And, you know, him being an L.A. guy, Coming back home to be able to coach for the Lakers, I mean, that's a dream come true, I'm sure. And really, he's filling a void left by Jason Kidd, him moving on to a head coaching spot. I'm sure that they will need another presence to fill in that bench. And I think, you know, for Fizdale, he's one of the best guys out there, as you guys know.
Yes.
We talk all the time. And, I mean, he's ready. He's eager. He's excited. And I know he's going to do a fantastic job with Vogel's staff out there in L.A.
I love it. And, yes, congratulations to Fizz. We'll miss you here on the jump set, but we're going to love to watch you work. All right, coming up in 2 minutes, Chris Bosh is going to react to Giannis's injury. He didn't get a chance with us at the top of the show, so just keep it locked at the jump. At the top of the show, we discussed Giannis's injury in Game 4. Right now, it's being called a hyperextended left knee. What is your reaction to the latest star getting injured in this postseason?
I mean, it's terrible. You never want to see that. You always want to see guys competing as healthy as they can be. You never want to see anybody get hurt. I've hyperextended my right knee in my career. I don't want to be a pessimist or anything, but I don't think he will return for the rest of the season.
Really? Really? So you think he's out for the rest of the playoffs?
Those things are very challenging to come from. You get bone bruises. You get all kind of damages in there. I'm speaking from experience.
Right. So that you have other cascading injuries if you try to play on it.
Yeah, I mean, and just the way he plays the game, pushing the ball in transition, the explosiveness that he has that to get to the basket, you know, defending their best players. You know, with as fast as the game is today, I don't think his knee will allow him to move at that speed.
Oh, just so rough to see another player hurt.
I have a really good relationship with Dame, and it has nothing to do with this opportunity. My relationship goes some years back with him. I've always just been a big fan of his. We've developed a really good friendship over the years. Nothing changes now. You know, nothing changes now. Obviously, you know, me having to coach him, we'll get to know each other a lot more. You know, me having to hold him accountable to being the great player that he is. But it doesn't change who he is, who I am, what we're both about. Nothing changes to me.
Welcome back to The Jump. That was new Trailblazers head coach Chauncey Billups yesterday on his relationship with superstar Damian Lillard. It was a tense introductory press conference, guys. Reporters asking about both the 1997 sexual assault allegations against Chauncey and the franchise's internal investigation into those allegations. The presser did also include basketball questions, which is where we got that bite about Dame. So, Chris, I'll start with you. This is only the second head coach Lillard has had in his 9 years in the league. Given everything at issue here, what do you think of the Chauncey hire?
I think it's the right hire.
Oh, you said Chris.
Yeah, I did. That's all right. We got a good
I mean, I think it's the right hire. Chauncey has been, you know, knocking at the door for a while, you know, getting some experience with the Clippers. I think they made the right call. And, you know, in this kind of situation, you have to trust the Blazers that they've done their due process. They're going to continue to do it and make sure that everything is in good standing. But, you know, after that, I think for them, it's about keeping Dame. He is a once in a generational talent. You want to make sure you do all that you can to make sure that you build all the, you know, the best team around him because, you know, he's in the peak of his powers right now. You want to take advantage of that for the city of Portland. And I think Chauncey can really, really come in, add some new energy, and most importantly, just get a shot and a crack at being a head coach in the NBA. And we'll see what happens.
Okay, well, I'm not going to crack any jokes about Perk, but look, this is the thing that I want to say about why I like this hire. Let's look at who Chauncey Billups like is as an individual. This is a man that, after kind of bouncing around and finding his way and finding his home in Detroit, what was his hallmark? It was defense. It was how can we be kind of, you know, Memphis is the grit and grind, but they were the kind of one of the originators that they brought back that really intense, we're going to be possession basketball. We're going to outwork you. That is what, in my opinion, the Portland Trailblazers have lost. They have all the sexy offense. Dame can give you 50. He can give you 60. He can do all that. But when you look at their defense, they're always one of the lower-ranked defensive teams. So you bring in a coach that has the defensive mindset, that knows how to impact the game in that way. So if he can impact Dame in that way and impact the organization, I think now they can start to build something.
Well, I agree with you, RJ. When you look at Chauncey's resume, it's longer than a holiday weekend. And when you talk about what Dame is trying to go, what Dame is trying to accomplish, Chauncey has already accomplished that. An NBA champion as a player and a finals MVP. But also, we look around the league right now and look at what's going on with all the teams that are still playing. You look at the Clippers with Ty Lue, right? A coaching change. Now players have elevated their game. You look at how Paul George is playing and the others around them. You look at the Atlanta Hawks with their coaching change. A new voice in the locker room changes everything. Even last night, we were talking about the Milwaukee Bucks, but I wanted to give more credit to Nate McMillan because he had those guys ready to play.
Yeah.
Defensively, they were locked in. Offensively, they were playing beautiful basketball. So with that being said, having a new voice in that locker room, a guy that played at the game of basketball at the highest level, an all-star, a champion, should be in the Hall of Fame. He can hold these guys accountable. They're going to score with the best of them, but to RJ's point, now you could get them back where they're playing defense and hold them accountable to that level so that they can win games and try to win a championship in Portland.
Look, the Damian Lillard factor is so huge here because there's been rumors, cryptic social media posts from Lillard. One reporter asked Blazers GM Neil O'Shea how he plans to keep Dame happy. Watch what he said.
Dame's happiness always revolves around winning, you know, and having a chance to win at the highest level. The ultimate responsibility for that falls on me and my staff, you know, to put a team together that we can walk into the beginning of the season think it has a chance to compete for a championship. You know, two things. It's one, making sure Dame's confident in that. Look, he loves Portland. Every conversation is he doesn't want to leave Portland. He wants to retire a Trailblazer. He's expressed that to me and the stakeholders in the company. And I told Dame, look, if you got to drive my butt every day to make sure we're out on a limb, we're taking risks, we're doing everything we can to build a roster that you feel and the rest of the guys on the team feel can walk in with the swagger knowing the roster is not going to be why they can't compete for a championship. That's on me.
Well, speaking of, here is a look at Portland's offseason outlook. Richard, there is a lot of pressure on the Blazers front office to do something this summer. Do you trust them to build a contender around Dame?
I do trust them in the sense that when you're starting with Dame, mm-hmm. right, like, you know, you got to fill in the pieces. It's like when you have a player, a lot of franchises don't even have a player that's a top 10 player like Dame Lillard, one of the best guards of this era, if you look at what he's capable of doing. So when you're starting there, that makes the job exponentially easier. So I do believe in that. And a lot of it is giving the player what they believe they need, but also putting people around them that will hold him accountable. And I think Chauncey Billups, I think bringing in Carmelo Anthony, I think those are big steps in the right direction, but they still have more to do.
Yeah, they have a lot. They have a lot to do, and it's just ironing out the wrinkles, in my opinion. Like even if you look at this year's team, you look at Nurkic lashing out about him not being happy, about not being part of the offense. See, that's a problem in itself. You want to bring guys in there not only that fits around Dame, but they're gonna buy into their roles and be stars in their roles, and not try to go outside their body. Cause I actually think Nurkic is a good fit for this team when he decides to do his role. But if I'm Portland, I'm going out there and trying to fulfill the hardest position to get, and that's the wing position. You got to go get some type of wings that could defend and knock down threes. I know Norman Powell is good at that. He's a little smaller than what you would like, but to compete in the Western Conference against Paul George, against Kawhi Leonard, against LeBron James, you need those wing defenders.
I mean, I think, I think they will do their best to put together a championship contender. Will that happen? We have yet to see. But, mm-hmm. you know, you have to say the right things, right? You have to, and it really starts with up top, you know, coming down from the general manager. And then hopefully that message gets resonated through the head coach.
That's
but
tough.
With everything said, you know, we all know Dame wants to win. We all know the Blazers want to win. And, you know, let's be frank, they're right there. You can see that they're losing in situations to where you could have said, okay, if they had X amount of more pieces, they would have been able to be successful. So it's on them to figure those things out. The pressure is there. I think we can all, you know, agree that it's about a 1 to 2 year window to see what happens. So it's great talking about it right now. They're going to have a hell of a plan for next year. And they're going to have to compete their butts off and learn on the fly. And hopefully they'll bring that championship situation through Chauncey Billups into the team and the rest of the locker room.
Well, the C.J. McCollum trade rumors that have been, I mean, they've been going on for years at this point, right? I mean, those are way up and running right now. We'll just have to see what they can do to shake up the roster a little bit, because we did hear as the season ended for them, several players saying they just don't feel like they had a roster that could win at this level and win at the level they need to. We'll see what happens. Chris, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Appreciate
we will see you,
Chris. You
soon. Coming up
always
next, everyone else, stick with us, because we're going
to
talk about CP3 and how much pressure is on him to close out this series and advance to his first NBA Finals. We'll discuss that next. Welcome back. The jump is on, and Chris Paul is looking to try to close out the series tonight right across the street. Would like to make his first ever NBA Finals appearance. He has been on a team in the past that has, of course, blown a 3-1 lead. We heard him talking about that after the Clippers went up 3. I'm sorry, when he was on the Clippers, the Suns went up 3-1. He's having Clippers memories. Richard, how much pressure is on CP3 tonight?
I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure, but not the type of pressure that he can't handle.
Yeah.
I think he's been in these moments before. It's all about his approach. Is his approach going to be, hey, let me make sure I'm getting guys involved. Don't try and do too much. Do what you've always done. Get everybody involved. Pick your moments and then come fourth quarter. Go be the Chris Paul that you've been all season, that you've been all over your career. That's your moment, because once you've established everybody else, that lane opens up for you to do your work. That should be his formula to go dominate that game. And then other guys have to step up also.
Yeah, well, if he go by your formula, he's going to lose. Right now, he has to make sure he comes out in attack mode. He's dealing with a young group that is going against an experienced group in the Clippers. He has to come out firing. He has to lead the charge, period, point blank.
Well, look, I would expect more from DeAndre Ayton tonight, so I think that's going to make a difference in terms of CP and what's available to him. But my money is always on Chris Paul, because he has been able to pay that off over and over again. Doesn't mean they're going to win tonight, but I think he will be able to be the Chris Paul that we expect either way. Thanks for watching The Jump. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Enjoy the game tonight.
We got to get Perk a lighter background.
I like Perk's like an
ethereal
glow
behind it. I like background.
I just see.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.